God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the 29th day of January, 2012, and you're listening to our evening worship. Our sermon tonight is preached by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. It is entitled, A Labor of Love. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
Well, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6. You want to head there? It's our ministry opportunity evening. And this isn't the only time we talk, of course, about ministry. But it's the time we give our members an opportunity to kind of see what ministries we have available. You should have received a booklet this morning. If not, we'll still have some available in the back. But it tells you about the different ministries. Some of our tables are just set up for information. In other words, if you go there, there's nothing really to sign up for. I've asked some of those leaders just to be there. Kind of a change from the previous years, where they may just tell you what the ministry is about, give you some information. You can talk to them whether they have a need or not. I'll be at the College and Career. We don't have a class or anything for College and Career. We're just doing some activities. And for instance, there, you know, if we don't have your email address or phone number, you can write that down for us so we can inform you on what's going on and just kind of more of an information. Others, we want you to sign up for. There's other things like choir. Amen. And we'd like to really boost our choir. We got maintenance. We appreciate several people this last year signed up, have been very faithful. And what a big help that is, church this size. It's funny, I always hear this, well, preacher, I need to go to a smaller church where I can get involved. I have to stop from laughing. You see, the larger the church, the more you have going on, the more help you need. And but that mentality of, nope, they need me in a small church. You always have something needed. So if you want to serve, we'll find you a place to serve. That's not a problem. And you may try something and find out that's not my forte. You may get involved in a ministry, and maybe you're working with, I don't know, 7th and 8th graders. And every day when you go home, you're thinking thoughts of strangling. And them, we'll probably move you to a different ministry, amen. So, don't be afraid to try a ministry and then realize, well, preacher, I probably need to do something else. It's great. We're not going to be mad at you, upset. We want to find your gift and where you fit in the body of Christ. But it is essential. So I hope you'll stop by. Maybe at least tell the leader, if you're already involved in ministry, yep, still there, still going to be involved. But please do that. Get involved somewhere and allow yourself to grow. So Hebrews chapter 6, and by the way, appreciate our leaders and all the helpers that get involved. Wow. Churches don't run without them. And many of them have been serving for years and years and years, doing a great job. And we appreciate you continuing with that. Let's stand as we give honor to God's word. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's spend a few minutes this evening. Then we'll dismiss to the Family Life Center to give you an opportunity to, of course, see what's going on and get involved in those ministries. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. The author of Hebrews, which, you know, I believe is Paul. People debate that, and that's fine. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Lord, again, we ask for your spirit to be here with us, Lord. Lord, I know we have veteran believers. We have new believers, Lord. And Lord, as we open up your word, may we be reminded, encouraged, and for some, Lord, even begin the process of learning how to serve, learning how to give back, Lord, for that which we've received. And Lord, we thank you so much for your word, the encouragement that it brings. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I get a little devotion now from Brother Paul Chappell. Some people ask me about our devotion. That's a good one to get. It's called Daily in the Word, and it's also got a Bible reading program with it. So it's a little quip, little devotion, and then it has three or four chapters in the Old Testament, Proverbs, and then a chapter in the New Testament, and helps you get through the Bible in a year. And I think even on that schedule, maybe a little quicker. But good thing. But that little quip was interesting this week. As I'm preparing this message, this one comes in. I think it was, matter of fact, it said Friday, January 20th. Said this, someone once said, every church is filled with willing people, some willing to work and others willing to let them. And I read that and I said, man, how true. You know, some of us are willing to work, and some of us are pretty content to let somebody else do it. You say, you think that's true, preacher? It's true at my house. I'm willing to let Brenda work. I'm so content to watch whatever she does. It is an easy thing to do, but I think the whole family's willing for that, you know. but it's true. We just sometimes get those attitudes that someone else will do it, and that's okay. But the reality is, churches, businesses, organizations run by volunteers and people getting involved, those that are successful. And the more they get involved, more is done. If you take the averages, and I heard just the other day as well when we were, I think, traveling in Florida or wherever we were at, and the preacher said, you know, 20% of the people give 80% of the money and do 80% of the work. And I thought, wow, that's kind of a national stat you hear. And I've heard it from different organizations, just not churches as well. And I thought, man, how sad. How sad so many who benefit from where you're going don't get involved. I hope that'll never be Central Baptist Church. May we never receive and never give back. And that's in many ways. We had Brother Metzinger talk about the financial aspect. That's not our primary thought process tonight. Our primary thought process is service. But it really is true. If you think about it, in all those realms, we're always willing to get. You know, we're always willing to take. Always willing to receive. Give me, give me, give me. But how often are we willing to get back involved? And I'm telling you, when it comes to the church, really, as a matter of fact, the guys in the back made me title the message. I titled it A Labor of Love. Honestly, nobody should have to beg you to do something you love. I'll just be honest with you. When it really comes down to it, I think the hardest thing for me as a preacher is trying to challenge people to get motivated and involved. My messages could be so much shorter if we just do it this way. But I really would just like to come up, read a verse, you know, like Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So let's do it. Amen. Okay, let's go home. Hey, the wonderful thing, you know what I'm saying? But really, for me, if you think about it, the fact of the matter is, we ought to enjoy what we're doing at the church. Why? Christ died for our sins. When you really think of the salvation that we procured, the life that we now have, hey, we owe God. You didn't work for your salvation. You didn't earn it one way. He did everything. And we'll take it. You bet we'll take it. I'll take it. I got it. And I love it. And I'm glad it was free. And I'm excited about it. But I tell you what, something inside me wants to say, you did more than I could ever do back for you. So I want to spend my life doing all that I can do back for you. And I'm not doing and serving God to get my way to heaven. That's already taken care of. Understand that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that was sealed. That is done. Well, why do you serve? Why do you give now? Why do you get involved? I owe him. I owe a debt I cannot pay. I owe a debt I'll never be able to pay back. But I'm willing to spend my life trying. I'm willing to spend my life doing everything I can, even though I know that I can't. He deserves such love from us. He really does. And tonight as we look at it, that's the first thing I want us to look at, is serving God needs to be a labor of love. You see here in Hebrews chapter 6, as we read right there in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do ministers. I mean, it was a loving situation. In other words, it's this way. I believe when you look at this word, this labor of love, I really believe the whole context here, as you take a look at it, is gratitude. You say, what are you saying? Man, there was this deep passion and love for God for what they did, and they did something back. Why? Because they were grateful for what they received. You realize that when you receive something and you don't respond in gratefulness to it, what it's like to the receiver? You ever give your kids a Christmas gift and they open up? It's okay. Not the color I wanted. It's cool. Now, if it's from grandma, we get it. You know, the knitted shirt, I get that, okay? You know, but I mean, when it's real, you know, parents went out and they found something like, here you go. Aren't you waiting for it? Thanks, Dad. I saw one of those YouTube things, and the gift they got the girls was a trip to Disney World. That's special to my heart right now. I just want you to know. So I understand this. And came in and said, you're going to Disney World. And literally, if you saw the video, the girls started crying. She goes, really? I mean, what better reaction? Could you imagine if the gift was Disney World and they went, I guess I'll have time. Hey, what day is that? I could be busy. I'm telling you, if I was a parent, I'd say, there isn't a day. It just got canceled. You say, why? Well, there's no gratitude. There's no appreciation. Now think about it. The God of heaven gave his only begotten son to die for us. And he died this death, and he wrote this book, and I want you to serve and tell others about me, and labor and witness and give and serve and do all these things to build my kingdom. And we're like, I don't really see why. It's no big deal. You know what we're saying back to God? I don't really appreciate what you've done. I really don't appreciate what you've done. You see, when you really love something, I don't know about you, but you show appreciation. You don't have to force somebody when it's love to be appreciative. This labor of love has this connotation of appreciation. But it's also, if you notice, it says a labor of love. It's a work. It really is. It's a work. As I thought about that, I looked up some verses, and I'll just, you know, read a couple to you. Matthew 25:40 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Hebrews 13:16, "But to do good, to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." James 2 says, "If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, one of you saying to them, Depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" In other words, throughout the Word of God, you will see that laboring for Jesus Christ is part of who we are as Christians. It's a natural thing. We communicate through good works, not just our words, but through deeds. We quoted this morning, and it's so true, that we would do good works. Why? So that they would glorify your Father, what? That is in heaven. I mean, it's a natural thing that we do. When I got saved, I got baptized, started studying. Now it's like, I want to do something back for God. And so I started serving, and why? Because I'm grateful for salvation. And I started serving, why? Because I do love Him, and I want to do something back. Isn't it great to tell your family you love them? And you ought to do that all the time. I'll be real honest with you. I think about every day we say love you. I don't know, a day passes we don't say love you, you know, I love you too. But could you imagine if I just told Brenda I love her and never did anything for her? Love you, could you take out the trash? Love you. Can you take out the trash? No, but I love you. Could you mow the lawn? Oh man, I love you so much. Oh man, do I love you. You gonna mow the lawn? Nah. I love you. Can I help you? That ain't going real far. At some point, that I love you means nothing. Why? Let's just be honest. Love is an active verb, and that love is something that you see. And so when the apostle wrote this and he says, oh, we've seen your labor of love, he could say that because he didn't hear their labor of love. He saw their labor of love. He saw that they were actively involved in serving. Can I just be transparent to you? I question. Anyone, I tell you, we'll help the young ladies out when the young men start coming around. Oh, that's a long story. But anyways, and they say they love you. It's not real unless they do it in a Bible way. And when the young girls come around and tell the guys, I love you. If it's not biblical, it's just words and it means nothing. In other words, there's got to be some actions. And those actions aren't worldly actions or appropriate actions. And that's how you really know. When I'm counseling young people all the time, I always want to know what's happening in the relationship because I can see if it's really love or not. I can see if it's really love. And how they're treating one another tells me so much about that relationship. Can I just be transparent? It's the same way with God. To be honest with you, if I could just be real honest, sure, preacher, do. Thank you. You know, I think a lot of people, a lot of Christians who claim to be Christians today are going to be so embarrassed when they stand before God because I think a lot of people are going to be shocked that they're there. Why? There's no proof of their love. We live in a generation where everybody says they love God, but there's not a lot of fruit to show it. May that never be said of us. Amen? May that never be said. We should be feeling and willing to have a labor of love. And so really, we could stop right there, but I got a couple more points, so we can't. So don't even think about it. But we really could. Well, why do you want me to serve, preacher? One thing, out of love. But there's another reason. Go down just a little bit in verse 11. He says that should be enough because we love God and we reciprocate what He's done for us. But look what he says. And we desire, verse 11, that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. For the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know the second reason why you ought to labor for God? Can I tell you? Nobody on the face of this earth rewards better than Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that it's by faith that we serve God. and we must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know why I serve God and why I get involved in ministries? A, because God loved me, so I love Him back, and I owe Him. There's no debate about that, and it's a debt I'll never be able to pay, but I'm working real hard to show Him that I care, and I want Him to know it's real. But there's another reason. Are you ready? He gives pretty good gifts. What are you saying? You mean you serve God because He rewards you? You betcha. Wasn't that wicked? Not according to what I read. You say, what do you mean? Oh, my primary motive should be love, and it is. But I'm also very wise at this. I'm also realized that the greatest gifts come from Almighty God. James 1:17 says that. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming from where? Above. Listen, folks, you put all your time in companies that, in one day, can come to you and say, thanks, but see you later. Seriously, how often do you read stories of people who work 20, 25 years in a place and get the pink slip? Yeah, we're downsizing. Thanks for all your help. And you get a nice, pretty watch to go with it. You know, oh, thank you, 25 years and I get a watch. Yeah, that was a good investment, amen. Seriously, but it can happen just like that. Why? But you're a worker. That's all it is. It's what you do. That never happens in the service of God. Never happens. Almighty God sees everything you and I do. He sees the motives for why we do it. He doesn't miss a thing. And I can tell you right now, if you think you've been ripped off in this earth, hang on. I guarantee everything will be made right up in heaven. And I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, you know that. So I'm not going to tell you that if you serve God, you'll become rich and famous, because that's not what this book says. But I'm telling you right now, your life will be so much better by serving God. Why? Because the great God of gifts, the rewarder of all those who serve Him, never misses a thing. Oh, we may miss it. We may not see all you do behind the scenes. Most people in the church don't have any idea how much you pray, how much you give, how much you serve. And you may be frustrated saying, does anybody know? Uh-huh. God does. How come I never get recognized? How come I never get a little award or anything? Trust me, you don't want it from us. You want it from Him. You really don't. You probably ought to pray that you're overlooked. You know why? You'll get a greater gift from God. Why? He never misses a thing. Never misses a thing. There are so many people that do so many things here, it blows your mind. And I'm not going to give their names. They'd be embarrassed. But, you know, I come in and work during the week, and there's people in here vacuuming, and there's people running the machine over there in the other part, and there's people cleaning the carpets, and there's people that come in and say, well, I'm going to clean the restrooms, and you don't see them because they come in their lunch break. They come when they've got time off, and they run in, and they do something, and they leave. And they don't ask for a pat on the back, and for many of them, they've been doing it for months, and some of them for several years. And I'm telling you right now, they are investing in one of the greatest investments they could ever invest in. And whether anybody notices or not, trust me, my God sees it. And my God says, ye shall reap if you faint not. And can I help you? Don't faint. Keep serving. It's worth it. Oh, it's worth it. Oh, I'm not telling you there's not rough times. I'm not telling you there's not difficult times. But I'm telling you it's worth it. Look at verse 12 one more time. The third thing that I notice here, when he starts challenging, when he challenges about the rewards that are coming, but then he gives them kind of a stern ending. That you be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises. I looked up that word slothful, and it means lazy. Isn't it amazing? It also meant stupid, by the way, but I don't have time to get into that. It's a great parallel, though. You might want to think about that. But anyways, slothful. So he's challenging these believers who, in verse 10, says they have ministered and are still ministering. And by the way, praise God for that. I hope you're not a person that used to serve God. Yeah, every once in a while you go to church, and, preacher, I used to run the bus ministry. I always want to say, great, what are you doing now? Well, bless God, nothing. You can always be doing something, folks. Yeah, but it's always, I used to do 10 years ago. Man, it's great that you used to, but it's also good to be present. There's a great past tense, but there's a great present tense as well. And then he says, wait a minute, as you serve, you're going to get tired, you're going to get wore out, so be careful. Don't be slothful. Slothfulness. You say, what is slothfulness? Well, it's laziness. It's people that decide not to serve the way they should. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Proverbs gives a whole thing, Proverbs 24:30 through 34, about not being slothful and taking care of things. And I began to think about this, and I thought, slothfulness. Huh. Laziness. Do we have a problem with laziness with Christians? I mean, if we have this labor of love to serve God, and we know we get rewarded, and we know it's true, it's 100% accurate, would we dare be slothful? I'll be honest with you. In all the years I've served God, It's amazing to me how often, and not all the time, praise God, we have many that don't do that, but it's always amazing to me that God always seems to get what we call leftovers. You say, what are leftovers? Well, leftovers is when your wife prepares a really good meal and it tastes really good, and the next day you eat it again. That's good stuff. And then the third day, you eat it again. And then the fourth day. Andy would always make a big pot of chili. Chili's good stuff. I like chili for 2 days. Gotta be real honest with you. Day four, I don't like chili. There's only so much you can do with chili. You know, day one, it's just chili. Day two, it's Frito chili pie. Day three, I'm throwing a hot dog in there. And if I'm throwing a hot dog in there, there's a problem. We've gotten pretty low right now. You know, I'm one of those guys that I like leftovers for about a day, and that's it. I like new. I like fresh. You know, why? I just do. Okay? It's so much better. I like leftovers. When I get involved in something, if I go somewhere, I don't like the leftovers. And I'm going to talk about food now. We traveled, of course, and you stayed a couple places. I like to get the nice rooms, and I like the workers who are actually excited to serve you. I don't really get excited about the leftover servants. You say, who are the leftover servants? We're traveling and went into a place to order, and there's these two ladies sitting at the counter, and we're the only ones in line. And we're standing there waiting to order, and they're talking about their life. And I think it was McDonald's. I don't remember. But we're standing there, and I'm thinking, going, seriously, are we invisible right now? And it's, oh, Sally, I'm telling you right now, things are so tough. And she's standing at the register. And I'm just sitting there going, order food in a hurry, traveling. You know, and I'm sitting there, wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't get excited about leftover service. You know, what do I want? Hey, sir, welcome to our establishment. Thank you for paying my salary. You're welcome. Because that's what I'm doing. I like that. I like real service. We don't like that anywhere. And we go on and on about left. Nobody likes just what's left. Come on, no, wives, you don't like when your husband gives you what's left. He works all day, and he helps everybody else. He comes home, you say, could you help me with this? He's like, yeah. Isn't that exciting? Slothfulness, laziness, unappreciation. Did a study. It costs about $180,000 from birth to 18 years old. I'm going to let it go right now, Jono, but you owe me. Anyways, 100, that's just the average kid. I mean, seriously, they've done all these figures. It costs to raise a kid to 18. We're not talking about college. $180,000. Now, let me help you with this. That's a pretty penny. We're not talking even vehicles or anything yet. We're just talking food and clothing, and they're including housing and your electricity, and somebody pays for... You'd have a bed, and somebody pays electricity. And I know this may shock you, young people, but somebody buys the food. Somebody has the gas on, electricity, and for you to watch your TV shows and play your video games, somebody bought that. I know this is a flash for you. Okay, but here we go. And it costs your parents about $180,000 for you. And then mom comes in and says, honey, could you take out the trash? Really? Sure. You know the thought that goes through my mind now? $180,000. That's what I get for $180,000. I get it. I'm busy. Oh, really? Now, for some of you parents, you're thinking right now, you have 9-year-olds. If I kill them now, I'm saving a lot of money. I can't help you with that. I do understand, though. I really do. But I stop and think about this. Think about the investment you have in your kids. And kids, if you wonder why your parents get so mad, that's why! No, seriously, your mom birthed you. Pop, you came out. It was that easy, trust me. But anyways, you came out. All this pain, and she birthed you, changed your dirt. Yes, you had dirty diapers. Raised you, birthed you, all this. And then she says, would you clean your room? Oh, mom. What do you call that? Well, besides being unappreciative, it's laziness. You would think for all that's invested, there'd be a little bit more appreciation. You really would. Now, you get that at home, we get that at work, but really in the house of God? Does God deserve our second best? Does the God of heaven who gave us eternity and salvation really deserve what's left? I called Sam Thursday and chatted with him real quick. Thursday's his day off. And I caught him at an Awanas. Awanas, we used to do that. We do King's Character now, but basically same ministry. It was on a Thursday night. So he was busy, so he called me back and said, "Yeah, Dad, what do you want?" So we're chatting for a minute. I go, "What are you doing?" "I just came up and taught a lesson." "It's a Thursday night. What are you doing?" "Well, somebody got sick and they couldn't find anybody else, and so it was no big deal. I really enjoyed it." "Son, it's a Thursday night. You have Awanas on Thursday night?" And I said, "Man, what a mean pastor. I mean, you go to church on Wednesday and then back on Thursday?" He goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Really? Why don't you guys do it on Wednesday?" He goes, "I know. I talked to Brother Humbert about that." And he said, "Actually, Brother Humbert wants to do it on Wednesday nights like you guys do King's Character. But the group leaders got together and said no. And said, we love going to Wednesday night church and hearing the Word of God. But we also love serving and we don't want to miss either one." So they volunteered to come out an extra night and work. And they're happy about it. Yeah, you're getting the emphasis, aren't you? That blew my mind. I went, wow. And then I heard it a couple years ago. I heard this story. Family used to come here, tells me their daughter is now in Tulsa and going to a different church. But she emailed me, and it's been a couple years. I was so excited because her daughter is in a kind of like a missions intern program. I went, that's cool. I mean, one of the ladies that were in our church going to, oh, this is cool. She's like an intern. I said, I mean, traveling foreign? No. What is it? Well, what it is the church has a program where they choose like 9 or 10 young people, not high school age, but they've got to be out of high school, college and career. So they've got to be, you know, basically 18, 19 to like 25, 28, somewhere in there. And this is what they do. They fill out an application. They do an extensive interview. If they're chosen, they will then work for 1 year in the church, in every ministry of the church. I said, that's awesome. What do they get paid for that? She goes, oh, they don't get paid. No. The families take care of them. All the church does is give them a place to stay. And the 3 or 4 girls are bunked down together, and 4 or 5 guys are bunked down together, kind of like a college dorm situation and in different houses. And the church takes care of that. And they serve for a year and do whatever. And part of the requirement says you can work a job, but you can't miss any church activity, any night, any activity, anything. Hey, they're not being paid for this. They volunteered. You have to go through an interview process to be accepted. People get rejected. And I said, you're kidding. She said, no, seriously. And you as a family are going to save some of your money and help her pay for her bills for a year? Yeah. We're so excited. She's serving God for a year. I went, no way. And my thought is, I'm going to try that at Central Baptist Church. That's a good plan. I like that. And then my thought is, would anyone sign up? But that thought did hit me. I said, what would they? No, wait a minute. Don't take the sermon wrong. I don't have a problem with that. Okay? I don't have a problem with people getting a job and working and going to college. Most of these young people, though, said, you know what? Either they didn't have a purpose or direction, or before they really got going, they said, I want to dedicate a year to the Lord. And they willingly did it without any force and paid their own way. Now, the Mormons have been doing this for years. If you're a Mormon, you believe you have to work your way to heaven. So you basically, for 2 years, go on a Mormon mission trip, and you pay your own way. Now, folks, can I help you? I believe we have the truth. I believe we have the right teaching in the Word of God. I believe we should have no less dedication to the things of God than we hear in those stories. And God may not call you to do that, and I get that. I know that's not for everybody, and that's not the point of the sermon. The point is, I'm amazed that sometimes when a church has a need, I've always thought there should be a line of people standing up saying, there's about 10 of us. There's only one position we're going to have to interview. Why? Because it's the house of God. It's something for God. We owe God. I mean, God's done so much for us. You betcha. But so often it's like, well, I've done so much and I've worked so hard. Can I tell you, before I close here, really, there was a time when I was in church. I mean, we were at church every day. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, it was 7 days a week. And I remember a preacher having to stand up and preach. Now, you need to kind of cut back and don't burn out. Do you remember the last time I preached a sermon on burning out? Good luck with that one. You see what he's saying, preacher? We're not in a generation where I have to stand up and preach about, now be careful, you might burn out. No, and I've seen it with a couple people, seriously, that are very active. But you'll probably, it'll be a long time for you to hear me do it. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying the problem isn't we're so dedicated to the house of God that we're not balanced. The problem is we're having to beg people often to just love their God and serve him. That should not be in the house of God. So when I read this, he says, oh, I love your labor of love. Something in my heart jumps and I say, may that be Central Baptist Church. May we be known as a church that loves to serve God. And it's not a burden. Oh, it's rough work. It is work. Since it's a labor. Now you get tired. It gets hard. But we do it. Why? Because it's a labor of love. And I'll tell you this. Aren't things easier when you love it? Oh, man. Brenda goes to the nursing home all the time. She got up Saturday, went in. She doesn't want me to tell you this, but I'll tell you. She got up Saturday, went in and made beds. She doesn't work there anymore. Why would she do that? She loves it. I didn't have to wake her up and go, honey, you said you go in and help make beds at the nursing home. She was up before 6 o'clock, ready, and ran out there. Now, that's not to praise her. I'm just telling you, the illustration is she loves it. You know when you love something, nobody has to force you. So what's the problem? If you're not serving, you might want to check your love level for the Lord. If you're not serving as much as you should, maybe you've lost your first love. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to give back, Lord. We know you're the great rewarder. There's no debate to us. But Lord, I pray that you forgive us sometimes for our ingratitude, our laziness towards serving you. I think we've all been there. I don't know that any of us could stand before you and say we've not felt that way or been that way at times. But Lord, I hope that's not our norm. And Lord, I pray each one of us would realize, Lord, the importance of serving you. Lord, you saved us. You gave your life for us. Lord, we owe you. We do. And I know we can't work our way to heaven. We could never repay you. But Lord, we should spend our life being the people who want to serve and want to give back to you, regardless of whether anybody notices, because we know you do. Thank you. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. And now may we serve you gladly, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand if you would. We have a short time of invitation. We did not talk about salvation tonight, but you heard a couple testimonies from some young ladies who talked about how God changed their life. Maybe God's been dealing with you in that realm. You've heard some messages on it. Talk to some people. You need to talk to someone. Brother Lynn's up front. Feel free to come and talk to him. That'd be great. But maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, you know I love you. I really do. And this year, I more than ever want to show my love to you in the way that I serve. Lord, help me to find areas that I can serve you in. Whatever your need is, you come, the Lord's spoken to you. As we sing just a verse or two of page 39, take my life and let it be.
Take my life and let it be.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we pray God's blessings upon you. We wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.